And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Friday, January 3rd. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. It's a cold one out there with temperatures hanging in the single digits, even some temps below zero this afternoon. Coldest air of the season so far, and it's only going to get colder as we head into the upcoming weekend. So if you have any plans outside, dress accordingly as temperatures are going to be dangerously cold with wind chills this weekend approaching 30 below in some areas. So I'm sure we'll have advisories issued for the cold this weekend, which used to be wind chill advisories, are now cold weather advisories. So those will be issued, I'm sure, from a lot of the area for this weekend with not a lot of wind, but it doesn't take a lot of wind when you've got the actual air temperatures anywhere between 10 and 20 below. So keep that in
mind. So why are they not wind chill advisories anymore?
That's our government hard at work. That's why. They changed that up. I think they thought that wind chill advisories were maybe a little bit confusing because not always do we have the wind to get the bitter cold. So instead of, you know, people might go out and say, well, there's not much wind. Why is there a wind chill advisory? Because the actual air temperature feels a lot colder, even with a light wind, when it's that bitterly cold. So they just decided to change it up with cold weather advisories and cold weather warnings. After all these years.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Irregardless of what somebody wants to call it, it's cold out. And as you said, dress accordingly. And let's not forget about what we've got to do when we have this cold weather and we've got animals outside. Certainly a lot of advice about dogs and cats and how to take care of them when they're going in and out in the cold weather. For livestock producers, this is the time of the year where windbreaks go up, because even though there might not be a lot of wind, any breeze makes it that much colder on the animals. So they want to be somewhere that they can have the wind behind them and maybe stand in some sunshine in order to try to warm up or stay warm for sure. Also, rations change. You want to make sure you have a higher energy ration to keep that animal warm and progressing as far as their gain per day. And then water tanks are important. We've got to make sure that animals get plenty of water. They need that as part of their cold weather protection to keep those bodies running most efficiently. So unfortunately, that means a lot of people are chopping ice or making sure that water tanks are open, and it goes smoothly until they're not. And then that's rather disappointing when that happens. But just a reminder for many folks to keep those animals safe and warm while we're have this kind of weather happening. And speaking of weather, even though it's cold out, folks are still on the move. I've already had reports of several bison fans in South Dakota. So folks have already been heading down to spend the entire weekend as they root for the team. And Montana State's team has already hit the ground as well. I've seen pictures from Texas as well that they're there.
Yeah, they've got some nice weather down there right now. But boy, by game day, it's going to be a chilly, chilly evening in Texas. And if you're going down to Texas, the best advice, obviously, leave today. If you are leaving, I had a couple emails of some of our fans were going to leave Sunday, and I said that is not a good idea. You will have difficulty. You won't get there on Sunday, and you'll probably have to spend the night somewhere around Omaha, and then good luck getting past that even on Sunday. Or Monday, I should say, as even though the storm will be east, you're still going to be dealing with the residual effects of a possible ice storm south of Kansas City. So it's going to be a mess. So a lot of people rearranging their plans that we're going to leave Sunday, leave Saturday. Sunday's going to be an absolute mess down to our south. For us, though, we're just going to have some quiet weather as we head into the weekend, albeit cold. Temperatures currently in the single digits, both above and below zero. The coldest weather out in the north central part of the state, Bontno right now, a cold spot at 13 below with wind chills about 25 below. We'll make it up about where we're at right now, maybe about 3 above today with a northwest wind 10 to 15, pushing those wind chills down close to 20 below. Overnight tonight, we're down to 13 below with light northwest winds. And then the weekend is cold. Highs around 1 below Saturday, 1 above Sunday. Nighttime lows between 10 and 15 below with wind chills 20 to 30 below this weekend. So that's getting into that dangerous category. No records will be broken with this cold snap. And then as we head to next week, we're in the single digits through midweek. I do foresee a train of clipper systems coming our way starting Thursday through about mid-month, where we will start to add a little bit to the snowpack up here. Each clipper system more than likely bring in about an inch or two. So you get about two or three of these clipper systems, and we'll add about anywhere between maybe 3 to 6 inches of snow, which isn't a lot. But again, every little bit helps in terms of moisture. Now, this system that's down into the central plains right now, this will be cycling back in the LRC the third week in February and then again the first week in April. So now, will it stay to the south? Possibly in the next cycle in February. We'll see how that goes. But by the time we get to April, as that jet stream lifts further north, that system should bring some ample moisture up into our area in early April. So that's good news because, again, we've been lacking moisture so far this winter season, just kind of like last winter season, and then we got it in the spring, and that this looks to be kind of something similar this year as well.
Well, and this weather update has been brought to you by Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance. He is providing long-term fixed rates for farmland financing. He's here to help local farmers and ranchers. Please be sure to give him a call. This is a great time of year to be doing that, as you are doing your planning for operating loans and so much more for the year. And you can reach him at 701-261-6529. Ryan can help you make some decisions on farmland financing, because if you're looking at your operating, what you've paid back, what you got to get for the coming year, any changes you want to make to your operation, now is a good time to work on those things. So thanks to Ryan and his work with, again, Equitable AgriFinance. And don't want to forget that we're going to be doing an Eagles giveaway for the Desperado Dream Vacation sometime this hour. No, the sounder has not gone off yet, and no, the promo hasn't played in a commercial break yet. So keep your ears peeled. You just never know when that might pop up, and you're going to want to make sure to call in to get in on that giveaway. And last but not least, our live streams are up and running for Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV. And if you have not subscribed to Acres TV, it is a free app that you can download, and it is essentially the YouTube of internet farming. There's lots of farmers on there from all over the U.S. and Canada sharing their stories and so much more. We are also there every day, and you can find that on Acres TV. Feel free to download the app as soon as you get a time. Much appreciated that you are using it. Thank you for that. So overall, when we think about things that are coming up right now for deadlines, one of them would have to be North Dakota Farm Bureau. They have announced scholarships that are worth $1,000 for high school students, undergraduates, and also individuals who want to study agriculture. Farm Bureau will be granting scholarships in 5 different categories, including a scholarship for college students that are pursuing an ag-related degree. If you have a North Dakota Farm Bureau family member, that's a scholarship. One for high school seniors who will be enrolled in any ag-related post-secondary school, and the Becky Palmer Scholarship, which recognizes academic achievement as well as leadership skills of high school seniors. Deadline for those scholarships is March 1st, and there is an additional scholarship for $2,500, and that is the Farm Bureau Student Volunteer Scholarship, and will be granted to a student who does their volunteer work through North Dakota Farm Bureau. And this is a point system, so students can earn additional points if they become a student member of North Dakota Farm Bureau. These scholarships are all possible through North Dakota Farm Bureau Foundation, and a large number of the scholarship dollars were raised at a foundation fundraiser held during their annual meeting back in November. Over $18,000 came to fruition for the fund that puts out those scholarships. So if you have a college student who is looking for some extra dollars, fill it out. I once had a student suggest to me that, $1,000, it's not that much. I bet mom and dad who are paying the bill would say $1,000 is worth it. Do the paperwork. So get it on in there for others. They would love to see you guys apply. Thanks for doing that if you can. So just those things to start. Also today we have a guest who will be joining us, and that guest is, where'd all my notes go? We're going to be joined by Marlon Crump. Marlon is from the Hankinson, North Dakota area. When I had a guest host on one day, that was Greg Amundsen from Gilby. Greg said, I'd love to have a longhorn as sort of a lawn ornament for my farm at Gilby, North Dakota. And Marlon called me and said, well, why don't y'all come on down and tour the longhorns? Well, I appreciate that, Marlon, but even better, I asked him if he would just come and talk about raising longhorns in North Dakota here on the radio. So that's why we're going to have Marlon join us today. I'm looking forward to what he has to share. And for those of you who have questions, you can certainly reach us. 701-293-9000 is the Red Wing Shoe line where you can send those questions, or you can send us emails, agorweather@flagfamily.com. We are going to catch up with the Northern Ag Network. We want to make sure we know what the market report is. I know for sure cattle have been selling higher. I've been getting lots of pictures via Snapchat and Twitter where y'all are out there sending cattle to auction, and congratulations on having a decent price, at least respective to what we've had in the last couple of years. So stay tuned for the markets, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. As always, so glad maybe you're listening while you drive down south and you have us on the WDAY app. Maybe you're out ice fishing and catching up, and you might just be in the hay yard moving some bales around or hauling manure out. Whatever you might be doing, thanks for being here as part of our day and yours. And if you are planning for festivities for the weekend, maybe you're getting ready to celebrate a win for the Bison, don't forget to stop by and pick up some North Dakota Sweet Crude. It is a locally produced liqueur. It's one of our favorites around here, and it comes in two versions, regular and the Sweet Crude Orange. If you're curious what we should be doing for recipes, you could go to crudespirits.com in order to make sure that you've got the best festivities possible, drinks to share with all of your friends. So please enjoy North Dakota Sweet Crude responsibly. Our guest today is in studio, and Marlon Crump from Hankinson, North Dakota. It is great to see you there. Marlon and I haven't even had a chance to meet in person yet, so I guess I'm going to have to keep a rain check on that tour of your place down there at Hankinson, sir.
Sounds great.
So tell us more about you.
Well, I am born and raised in Hankinson, and I sell insurance in Hankinson, and my wife and I own an embroidery and screen printing business. And in 1997, my dad had a bypass, which, because of Stephen Manock, who owns Manock Meats, it's a butcher shop, led us to eating longhorn beef. And I started off with the longhorns, just buying some roping steers that were too big to rope from cowboy friends of mine. And I would take them home, and I'd put them in my little feedlot, and I'd feed them corn and hay for about 90 days, and we'd butcher them. And my late father-in-law said, you know, this is really neat, but maybe you should just buy a couple cows. So we bought a couple cows, and we, you know, someone would fall in love with a heifer. Oh, we have to keep her, and she'd get a name and things like that. So that was the herd started to grow. And in 2013, we went to look at a bull over in Henning, Minnesota. Yep. And Mrs. Swanson was her name. And she said, well, I'll make you a deal if you'll take the whole herd. So we bought like 12, 13 cows and some calves and a bull. And so our herd expanded greatly. And we've just gone from there.
And it all started with wanting to eat healthier.
It all started with, yeah, my dad having a bypass. And, you know, Steve being a really good friend saying, you need to try this meat because it's, you know, obviously that's your future if you don't. Wow. So.
Okay, so when he offered this up to you, most people wouldn't think of one that you would eat longhorns. They seem to be very ornamental and rodeo-ish.
Yep.
But two, when you do a comparison versus some of the other beef breeds that are out there, whether it's, you know, certified Angus is certainly a name everybody knows, but even if I talk about Charolais or Herefords, what's different about that meat? The leanness, a taste, anything like that?
Well, I have some charts here that I brought along that I got from Texas Longhorn Breeders Association of America.
Oh.
And one of them is the calories in a 3.5 ounce serving of longhorn beef is only 140 calories. The cholesterol is 61.5. The fat is 3.7, but the protein is 25.5. And the secret with a longhorn is they were here before the British breeds. They grow slow. You know, it probably takes 30 months to get a 1,200, 1,300-pound steer. But due to the fact that they grow slow, they don't get the back fat. So that's how you get the leaner meat. When we process a beef, I'm disappointed if the burger isn't, and it's a guesstimate, but in the mid-90s for leanness. You go to the grocery store, you buy 80% hamburger. Oof. I'm shooting for like 94, 95% hamburger.
Right. Now, can you buy the longhorn meat? You can't buy that in the store.
No, you have to know a breeder.
Okay.
So, and there's, there's a few of us around the area.
And price-wise, how does it compare?
It's probably a little cheaper. Really? Buying a beef from me versus, probably buying a black cow from or a steer from another farmer, right?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do you finish them the same? So are you finishing on corn? Are you looking at primarily grass? What does that ration look like?
So back when I was in high school, I worked for a farmer southwest of Hankinson, and he had a feedlot where he finished Holsteins. And I just follow his recipe. I start him off slow on corn, work, 20 some days, and then a little more corn. We just keep adding. And then grass hay and a little bit of alfalfa. And, we just go from there. Maybe corn stalks if they're available, like corn stalk bales and stuff like that.
So when you talk about the leanness of the meat, Marlon, I've had the opportunity to have elk meat, and often elk is extremely lean and will be mixed with a beef in order to bring some fat into it. Is it tougher to mix the longhorn because it's so lean with a different meat type, or do you ever see folks that say, well, sometimes I have to add a little fat to it?
Sometimes people will say that, when they fry it, that they'll add a little oil to the pan to fry the burger. The other secret to a Texas longhorn meat is to cook like at 275 degrees, because you're not burning off any fat. Yeah. And you still get good flavor. It's just
very
a little
good flavor,
different.
Is my guess.
Yep, it's very good flavor.
And tender, because it's growing so slow, right?
I'm disappointed if a butter knife will cut most of my steaks.
Wow.
And this is not new. When you and I first talked, my thought was, oh, longhorns in North Dakota. This must be a bit of a new thing. But you said since 1997, and in that time frame, have you seen any real changes in the genetics with longhorns? And are you strictly using a longhorn bull?
We are a registered longhorn herd.
Okay.
We have everything is registered but one cow, and her name is Rose. Someday Rose will leave, but she's like 20 years old, and she always raises a nice calf. So she gets to stay. And it goes back to that, the naming part. Once a heifer gets a name, unless it goes to another breeder, they usually get to stay.
You're right. Once you put a name on them, it's hard to get them to leave.
Yep.
So I get what you're saying. Do you get people that are literally just driving by and you hear the brakes squeal as they come into the yard, say, hold on, you got longhorns?
So my neighbor tells me that I should put up a second mailbox by the approach, because in the spring of the year, people will start driving by and they'll just stop and look. We've had, we're remodeling a garage, and when I get this done, I'm going to have a world map in there. And then I'm going to have it so you can, stick a pin cushion like where you're from. In the last couple of years, we've had several people from Winnipeg. We've had five or six Franciscan sisters from Germany. There's a mother house in Hankinson. So occasionally they come back and forth, and they come out for a tour. That was a blast. Just visiting with them, and, they got to feed him cow cake and things like that. We've had a young man a couple of times from the Czech Republic who was a student at NDSU and a friend of my cousin's, and they brought him over. And yeah, it's been very interesting.
Nice.
Oh, Marlon, there are so many great questions I can't wait to ask you about. Things about, you know, you think of longhorns as being a warm weather animal, not necessarily raised up here. And let's talk about hardiness and calving ease. And we're going to do that after our bottom of the hour news break here at 1:30. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Marlon Crump from Hankinson. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. We have with us today Marlon Crump. Marlon is from Hankinson, North Dakota. We're talking all about longhorns, particularly the registered longhorn herd that he has down at Hankinson. Are they the only registered longhorns in North Dakota, Marlon?
No, there's several other breeders throughout the state. There's a family out at Killdeer. There's a family west of Enderlin. And those are the ones that I know, but you know, I'm sure there's more than the three of us.
Might just be. So when I think about longhorns, and I asked you this question on the phone, I think about a warm weather animal, thin hide, likely found in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico. What's the hardiness like for these longhorns here?
Well, you know, Dean's going to have it colder over the weekend, so they will get a half an act, a ration of grain, you know, in the evening. But they don't seem to mind. They, you know, just like everything else, they just need that extra shelter. If you bring one up from Texas to North Dakota, it's probably the first year is a little hard on them. But after that, I think they're well adjusted, and they seem to enjoy living here.
Well, I'm sure. Wide open spaces, right? They're pretty happy with that.
Exactly.
What's their calving ease like? Do you have to be there to provide a lot of assistance, or are you calving more of the summertime? What's that look like?
Well, when we first started, I thought the right thing to do was to calve at the end of March and April. And my uncle said to me, it's not like you're farming. You don't need to be in the field in middle of May. Middle of May, the grass is green. Just wait. And we did that. And now these babies are being born. The grass is green. There's hardly any mud. And they're just doing really well. And since we've never had to pull a calf, they come out probably 40, 50 pounds. And within an hour or two, they're up and going.
Wow.
They're hardy. They're successful. They thrive.
What's the hardest part that you found about raising longhorns?
For me, the hardest part is the day they go to the butcher shop or the sale, because I'm a softie, and there's probably a few folks listening to the radio that are shaking their head. Yep, he is. Sometimes I make my sons deliver to the butcher shop because, you know, you
get attached to
him. I get attached to
him. Sure.
So, yes.
Okay.
And I can see why you get attached, because I think they're a very docile breed for the most part, right?
I would say that there's no question in my mind that I could walk out there. We feed them by hand every day, you know, with a 5-gallon pail. They're fed grain. I can go out and pet every cow out there. We can pet the bull. I mean, two buddies and I, we own this bull together. And when we move them around, we open the trailer back up to the gate, open the trailer door, and say, come on, Legend, let's go. He just get out of his way. He walks into the trailer, and, you know, he knows he's going somewhere to do his job. So
let's go.
Let's go. And, you know, and the other part we've done over the last few years, we've started buying cows that used to be shown, you know, maybe as a yearling or weanling, yearling, et cetera, and maybe didn't get far enough in their show career to make it a career, but they make great cows because they're already docile. They're used to being, you know, handled. So, I mean, that's another great combination. So you don't have to be scared of them.
Hmm. And go ahead, finish what you're saying there, Marlon.
Okay, and I was just gonna, like, we have several that have been, you know, been shown in like Denver. We have one cow that in 2021, we bought her in the fall of 2020. This young gal come up to us and said, can I show Eclipse? That's her name. Can I show Eclipse tomorrow? Everything is set up so she can be shown. Sure, absolutely. We didn't know anything about it, you know, what was really going on at the time. So she showed, and we got reserve grand champion. And this cow had a calf at its side, and it was in a class that was for mature cows. And it lost to a cow that didn't have a calf, and nor did it look like she had a calf. So the judge and I had a little bit of a discussion because, you know, anyway, which led me to judging a couple of years later, which is harder than it looks. But Eclipse took us to Belton, Texas, where we competed at the World Longhorn Show. And, you know, there was only 20 in her class. So she's one of the 20 best. Or outside of Texas, she's probably three or four, because most of these cattle that are shown are from Texas because they have a circuit they travel. And these you know, kids get points for college scholarships. So it's, you know, they've got it set up right down there where we don't have that many cattle up here to do things like that. But it was a fun experience.
I tell you what, when you said I had a discussion with the judge, which led me to judging, I found that kind of hilarious. I'm like, way to put your money where your mouth is. Now I'm going to have to go out there and judge too, right, Marlon?
That's what happened. I took a couple classes online, and that led me to, you know, having some of the knowledge. There's people I know listening to this who are probably going, you know, yeah, he could probably judge. The hardest part for me was getting up and speaking. Just, you know, the three of us, it's pretty easy to have a conversation for me. But when I was judging, it was just me. And that was like, you know, and then picking, I mean, you've got 6-7 beef that look really nice. How do you pick, yeah, well, which one's my favorite, you know? So, and then after I did the cattle, then they said, oh, by the way, we didn't tell you, but you're going to give the award for which kid did the best job. Like, oh, that was really hard. So
that's really difficult. Yes. Oh, well, for those who are listening, you can again call us at the Red Wing Shoes Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Daryl took advantage of sending an email to me, ag@flagfamily.com, and he said there is a farm west of Yulin in Minnesota that also has longhorns. He has a bull from a top bloodline in Texas. The bull's name is Chevy. And he also, Daryl also said they are very docile and tame animals. So thanks for sharing that, Daryl. Much appreciated. Yeah. Now, when you said the horns, Marlon, you mentioned that just the span, because first of all, you had them for rope, you know, you had some roping steers, right? But the horns themselves, just aside from the meat of the animal, is valuable too.
Yes. Our youngest son, Benjamin, likes to buy cattle with big horn genetics. And a few years ago, he had one pass away, and we had the skull cleaned, and he sold it. And that skull was from point to point, almost 84 inches. And the gentleman that bought it,
wow,
you know, built that a bar for this skull to be displayed at.
No way.
But, mm-hmm. So he did the remodel to fit the skull. So
that's
okay. The only thing I can think of is on 84 inches, you got to open up all the barn doors to let him in and out. And how does he get out of a trailer?
They are so careful and protective of their horns when they get in and out. You know, they twist, they turn, they make sure everything works. But normally when they get in a trailer, they, you know, they kind of stay facing that direction. They don't move around a lot in a trailer. It's been my observation. They know, I mean, they know where that point of the horn is and how, you know, where they can scratch themselves, or if they want, what they can hit you with. So
yeah. But they know their distance.
They definitely know how to use their horns, and, you know, and they're not a dumb animal.
Mm-mm. Nope. They cannot be for their survivability. I mean, they've been around a long time. They're a tough breed, even though they're very docile.
You know, the Longhorns were in Texas before the Civil War, and that's what they ranched with. And when the men left for the fight in the Civil War, they basically turned these cattle. They just, you know, kind of let them go, and they just roamed. When the Civil War was over, or shortly thereafter, the British breeds were here, the Herefords, the Angus, et cetera, and they grew faster, so they didn't want the Longhorn. So in the government's wisdom, they established 3 Longhorn reserves where they moved these cattle to. Well, in the 30s, the interest come back in the Longhorn, and these cattle were taken out of these you know, reserves.
Reserves.
And they started the breed up. So.
That's tremendous. Because, like, again, you've also not only become a breeder, a judge. Sounds like you're the unofficial historian for the Longhorn breed as well.
Well, I don't know about a historian, but, you know, some people fish, some people golf, some people gamble. We have Longhorns.
Exactly. You mentioned earlier having the Longhorn bull. So just to clarify, you're doing all of the breeding by bull. Do you do any artificial insemination as well?
We do everything by bull. There is AI available, but it's not what we want to do at this time. Maybe in the future, who knows? You know, 40 years ago, I never thought I'd be raising Longhorns, or 35 years ago.
Now, is your plan over the next 10 years to expand to more?
I would say we're probably at a max.
Okay.
For the number of head we'll have, but probably to improve the quality of the cows we have.
Okay. Great.
So do you sell your beef through a retail location, or if folks come to you and say, I have a butcher's appointment lined up and want to take an animal in, how does that work?
So that's what we've been doing is, you know, if Dean wants to buy a steer, we'll have him come and take a look, you know, at the few we have, and we will help him get that steer to the butcher shop. And then he tells the butcher how he wants it cut in. And he pays me by what that steer weighs the day it goes to the butcher.
Gotcha. Okay. I had a message just come in. Somebody asked, are there miniature versions of the Longhorn?
There are. I know of a couple families in Oklahoma that raise them, but I do not know anybody up here.
Okay. Okay. If you're raising some that have an 84-inch spread on that horn, what's the spread on a miniature? Probably still like 40?
I would say 40, 50 inches.
That's still a huge spread.
Yes.
Oh, okay, Marlon. This has been so much fun asking you all these questions. But besides the fact that you raise cattle, you mentioned being an insurance agency. Do you take care of crop insurance? Do you handle livestock insurance? Or any of those services come out of your personal experience of what you're doing at home?
I would say yes. I do all lines of insurance. And so I've learned things, you know, that we do because of being in insurance. And that, absolutely, you know, it's also helped me, you know, to, like, I'll have customers ask questions, and, you know, I've been known to give a customer to, you know, a package of burger, here, try this, and things like that.
Well, I'd say that's great advertising, and I would find it better than getting an ice scraper or a coffee mug from my insurance agent.
Yes.
Marlon, thank you. So for folks who have been listening and maybe want to contact you for that Longhorn photo op, maybe they want to buy beef from you, maybe they want to talk about insurance, how do they find you?
Well, I'm in Hankinson, and probably my best number is 701-899-0885.
And any social media links that you use?
No, I'm pretty old school.
Good for you.
It's all right. If folks are curious, I bet they will be happy to give you a call. So thanks for joining us today, Marlon. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. This has been a blast.
Thanks, Marlon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Good.
All right. When we come back, we will recap what the weather looks like. We'll kind of break down, if you're heading down to Frisco, what the trip down there looks like as well. We'll have that and more when we come back.
Oh, there we go. The sounder played. We're looking for caller number 7. Addison is so graciously taking calls at the studio to make sure that we get the right caller qualified for the Desperado Vegas Dream Vacation. As I've mentioned before, this is presented by American Security and Gate and brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines and Kingpin Social. As a winner, if you are the top winner of this prize, you will receive round-trip airfare for two on Frontier Airlines, Fargo to Vegas, hotel stay, two tickets. You're going to see the Eagles on Saturday, January 25th at the Sphere, and $500 in spending cash. If you don't get to be caller number 7 in this hour, stay tuned. You can qualify in other shows here on WDAY. And on Monday, January the 6th, you can join us from 3 to 5 p.m. at Kingpin's Social. And by doing that, you can make sure to get qualified right there and in person. So looking forward to seeing who is going to be lucky caller number 7. Addison's going to let us know. A couple of things that are also going on in the region. We have a winner out of Laurel, Montana for the 2024 Operator of the Year. This was handed out at the Ag Retailers Association meeting in December, and it's sponsored by AGCO Corporation. Randy Bowens of the Town and Country Supply Association in Laurel, Minnesota was the Operator of the Year. What does that mean? That means this honors a custom applicator who runs sprayers. It honors their skills, their dedication, and their service to their customers and their communities. Bowens personally covers over 50,000 acres across 12 counties in south central Montana. He is a vital part of the region. His expertise is frequently requested by customers. His skills are shared in training sessions with other operators from that business. He's also well known for the meticulous care of his equipment, intense attention to detail, and great communication, which allows for excellent efficiency in the field with the applications that he does do. So this is a wonderful opportunity for these folks. Again, it's sponsored by AGCO Company. There were two other finalists, Travis Hughes from the Bollmeyer Incorporated Company in Akron, Iowa, and Jeff Jablonski of Greenpoint Ag in Loxley, Alabama. One thing that the winner, Randy, said was that he was a finalist in 2013, but the competition is so stiff, it took him another 11 years until he could actually win. So people keep pushing themselves to do better and better. And there are awards out there for so many things, including operators like this. Dean, have you heard if we have a winner? Addison might still be taking down their information.
Yes, we do. Congratulations to Susan G. She was our lucky winner to qualify for today. And don't forget, we'll be giving away the grand prize next, I believe it's next Wednesday, isn't it?
It is. It is the 8th, and that will also be at Kingpin Social. So for those of you who want to come out to be a part of that giveaway, we'd love to have you there. That'll be Wednesday, January 8th, and I think that starts at 6 o'clock. I will double-check the time on that.
And you have to be there. I know we've had one person ask, can we send a proxy? Nope. You have to be there to win. So
yep. There we go. Begins at 5:30 on Wednesday. Mark your calendars.
Make sure you're out there. And weather-wise, it's going to be cold all the way through next Wednesday, as we've got temperatures that are currently in the single digits, and they're not going anywhere this weekend. In fact, we're going to dip down to the coldest weather we've seen so far. Our previous coldest morning was 12 below. We'll eclipse that, if not tonight, definitely tomorrow night, as temperatures are going to be anywhere between 10 and 15 below across the area, even colder than that just to our north, with daytime highs for tomorrow and Sunday right around zero, either a degree or so each side. And then we'll stay in the single digits through Wednesday. Train of clipper systems will start affecting the area later next week, and then last through about mid-month. So we'll start to add a little bit to the snowpack. Not worried about any one of those being that big at this standpoint, but you know, you get a 2-inch, maybe more of a light snow and wind with it, that could pose quite a bit of problems. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And then other than that, if you're traveling down to Frisco, again, a major storm system is going to affect the Central Plains from Omaha to Kansas City to Wichita. Everything from freezing rain, sleet, snow, thunder snow, high winds, which will produce blizzard conditions on Sunday down there. So if you are traveling, if you haven't left today, leave by noon tomorrow so you can beat the storm before it hits down to our south. So for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Have a great weekend. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show coming up next.